Okay, let's get ready for our morning study in the Word of God. Let's begin by opening the Word of God to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We will be later on in the Old Testament, but right now we're in the New. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, check yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher of understanding God's precious Word. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of grace as we approach to do the dangerous thing of opening your Word, that we might see it and understand it through the power and leading of your Spirit. Pray, Father, these things will be accomplished according to the glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been talking about how spiritual love does not boast. Well, there is a bona fide boasting for the believer filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have to notice this from the Word of God. This is important to our study in that spiritual love does not boast. So first of all and foremost, it does boast, but in the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin looking at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. And verse 26 starts off with that all-elusive imperative, for consider. Consider your call, brethren. Now, the word to consider is a present active imperative. The present tense means do this on a daily basis. Consider what you're doing today. The imperative mood is the furthest from reality. Few believers do this. But it is God's plan that every day we value and consider what we're doing, what we're saying, and with our life and our time. So we are to consider. Now, the Greek word to consider means to look at it so as to learn. You're looking and considering something, you want to learn something. A few things about yourself, about God, about the conflict. It is amazing how few believers refuse and will not study themselves and look at what they're doing with their lives, what they're doing with their time. I think one of the fun things to do is at the end of each month, just take out your credit card account, your checkbook, and see what's been important to you that month. And consider those things. And we could do the same thing with time. What have you been doing with your time? And as far as prayer, as far as the study of the Word of God is concerned. Now, you got to consider, am I wasting my life? And people, you got to remember, this is what's important about Colossians. Consider or think you keep your mindset on things above. Because if I think just on the things below, it's not a waste of time. I'm enjoying myself. I'm accomplishing something. Okay? Whether it's fun or work or whatever. I'm really just sitting here watching TV. I'm enjoying this. See? But when you consider it in light of eternity, often what we're doing is a waste of time, and that includes me and my time and all of us. We've got to consider in light of eternity what we're doing with our time and with our lives. Now, so let's take a look. Consider your call. Now, a calling is an invitation to believe in Jesus Christ, that if you're a believer, you have responded to. There were not many wise according to the flesh. Now, immediately, don't go into boasting. Not many wise, I just happen to be one of the wise ones that are here. See, that's not the point here. And look around at other people, I'm sorry about you, but I was chosen because I'm pretty wise. But no, not many wise according to the flesh. This is extremely important in reference to the angelic conflict, and not just among men, but in our understanding of the angelic conflict. Let's first of all look at not many. Now, I want you to note, this is stated three times in one verse. And after each time, a new category of boasting, a potential boasting, is mentioned with each category. Categories that people rely on rather than relying on the Lord, relying on the Word of God. Three categories of advantages that God has given to us that people rely on and boast about. And why they do not need Jesus Christ for salvation if they're unbelievers. Three categories. I want you to know what I'm saying here. So look at verse 26. So, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. So three times, not many. And there are three categories that allows people to boast and to refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. This is one of the most basic and primary areas of boasting. To boast about your intelligence. But here we have three categories that people are impressed with. In self or in others. I know people are really impressed with, well, they have a high IQ. They're very smart. Like, that is going to determine everything. Let's look at all of the IQs of the presidents and which one has the highest IQ. You may be shocked to find out he was a liberal, an anti-American, a globalist. But, oh, he was smart. See? You gotta, don't be a worshiper of wisdom, of IQ, of this type of thing. So, there are three areas that people are impressed with. Three categories that people are intimidated by in others. So you have three areas that people are impressed with, three areas that people are intimidated by. Therefore, three major categories for rejection of divine provision and boasting and exalting self over others. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Okay. Now, not many wise. Okay, this is one of the most basic, primary areas of boasting. IQ, intelligence, superior ability to think, to reason, to understand things that most cannot. Every class is going to have a category, a line of intelligence. Those at the very top, those at the very bottom. I've been in classes with, of course, both categories, but the category at the top that is the most repulsive is the arrogant one. Now, I've also know people, very intelligent, think nothing about it. They don't think anything about, they're not impressed that they made an A. They feel for you if you made a B or C, and this type of thing. That's good attitude. But there are people who are intelligent that do not have that kind of a good attitude. But this is one of the great areas for rejecting the Word of God, rejecting a pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God, and I know more than he does, I know more than they do. Now, with this in mind, this is the first sin in the universe. Look at Ezekiel 28. Aha! Just happens we might be there on Wednesday. Alright? Look at Ezekiel 28. I wish I could take credit that these are all overlapping right now, but I can't. God the Holy Spirit, in eternity past, worked it all out where we would be on boasting and Ezekiel 28 and Lucifer, Satan, and all that right now. But Ezekiel 28, the morning star corrupted his wisdom by his boasting, by his arrogance. He corrupted his wisdom by being impressed with his wisdom. Therefore, this is a jolt to the morning star that man, that maggot, should be exalted above him. But you have to understand that you're being called by God had absolutely nothing to do with you and your wisdom. It had to do with God and His grace. Many people are so proud of their intelligence. They desire to be saved by it. Most by it. I know pastors, a couple of them in particular, they're very impressed with their mental ability. And very impressed that they can think things out. And they want to impress you by dominating the conversation, by overruling and over-speaking anything anybody else has to say. They're very impressed with what they have to say and their intelligence. And that's what this passage is dealing with. But you have to understand that your call had nothing to do with your wisdom. See, many believers are so proud of their intelligence that they even try to learn and study the Word of God without a pastor teacher. They don't need a pastor teacher. They're quite able to understand the Word of God without the man that God has given the gift to study and teach the Word of God. They don't need him. They can do it all on their own, and they boast about that. I don't need that pastor. I've known wives in my life that, well, I don't need to go to church here or some other church because I know more than the preacher does. I can understand these things better than he can, so I don't need to go. You go on. You need it. You're dumb, but not like me. I'm intelligent. See? And this is really difficult. They exalt themselves over other believers that they know. And they know more than they do. They know, understand more than they do. And they have a better grasp of things that they do. Now, look at Ezekiel 28, and we're going to look at just some of the things that dealt with this creature. And Ezekiel 28, if we look down at verse 14, which is where we are, you were anointed cherub who covers. I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the fire, the stones of fire. Look at verse 12. Ezekiel 28:12. Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre. This is the morning star. And say to him, thus says the Lord, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Now, I want you to look down at verse 16. By the abundance of your activities, you were internally filled with violence. You sinned. Therefore, I cast you from the mountain. I cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones. Now, verse 17. Your heart was lifted up, that's arrogance, because of your beauty. Always remember, especially ladies, beauty can be a blessing, it can be a curse. Same thing with men. Some of us are just made very handsome. No. But some men are. There are some men that are really handsome. And you have to kind of go, well, look at that. That's not me. James Garner, for an example. My wife would say Sean Connery. There's just some very handsome men in the world. Well, it can be a blessing. It can be a cursing. See? So, your heart was lifted up in arrogance because of your beauty. Now look what it says. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. Now, I'm not going to go through this because this is going to be Wednesday night study. What does wisdom have to do with splendor? How did he corrupt his wisdom in reason of his splendor? Well, let's just say that he was blinded by his own brilliance, by his own wisdom. How wise I am. And therefore, he had the great fall. So, this is a wisdom can be a blessing. Can also be a curse. And this is why many who are intelligent reject the gospel, like Morningstar. They don't need it. They're smart. They figured this out. There is no God. And if there is a God, he's impersonal. And this type of thing. They've got it all figured out. Being wise, they became fools. And that's what you have to be careful of people in life. Being wise, that they don't become fools. Now, for the second category, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And let's go now to the second category, where it says, not many wise according to the flesh. See, and that, what that means is, not according to me, but according to the flesh, among people. And there's always one in every class. He just busts the curve to no end. See? And one of the great jokes in school, do you grade by the curve? Yes. Well, do you take out the very top and the very bottom? No. Well, there you go. See, now we're all dead. Because there's always going to be one or two in there that are going to break the curve. Okay. Now, not many mighty. This is the second category of boasting. Power. People who have power, authority, do not need Jesus Christ. They do not need him. They have authority, military authority, work authority, sports authority, whatever it is, they have authority, power. They don't need the Lord. They're doing quite well without him in their business, in their life. They really don't need the Word of God if they're believers. They're doing quite well without it. And that's what this is talking about. So, not many mighty. Again, we saw just how important this was in the first universe, in the angelic conflict, in an old study that we did some time ago, where we had Morningstar was so impressed with his might, and he was the mighty one. But the mightier man came into his kingdom, that's Jesus Christ, came into his kingdom and pulled out of his own kingdom those who would respond to the mighty man, Jesus Christ. So, Satan, Lucifer, the Morning Star, not Lucifer, Morning Star, is very aggravated. Every time a person decides to believe in Jesus Christ, this just upsets Satan to no end. Therefore, have fun and witness. I'm going to make Lucifer or Satan mad today. I'm going to go witness to somebody. I'm going to lead somebody to the Lord and just tear old Satan up. See? Not only do you want to do it from the standpoint, I'm going to give them the way of eternal life, but I get to really disrupt Satan today. See? So if you want to disrupt Satan, witness to somebody about Jesus Christ. And he hates that to no end. Because you're taking that person out of his kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and it shows his weakness to control and hold everyone. A person who possesses both high intelligence and power authority is in real position of arrogance, separates himself, exalts himself from others, even from the Lord. Now we come to the third category. Remember, so the way it reads is, not many flesh, not many mighty, and we have the third, not many noble. Third category of rejection of divine provision. Third category of reason for boasting. See, you'd be surprised, maybe not, how many people today are so proud of their heritage. And especially since we have DNA now. Well, I checked my DNA and I'm related to King so-and-so. See? Well, la-di-da. See? That's just really wonderful. But that's what they hold on. And I'm this and I'm that. And they really take a lot of their arrogance in their DNA. They're what their DNA showed about them and all these things. It's fun, but don't become arrogant about it. See? I did mine. I found out I'm 25% Jewish, and I love that. See? But the whole point is, big deal. It doesn't matter who you're related to, your nobility of your birth. What matters is, what is your attitude toward Christ and to the Word of God? That's the great issue. That's what's at point here. So this is the not many noble. And Satan boasts of the fact that he was superior to man. He cannot believe that God dared put a man against him. A member from the lowly human race, born of a woman. Remember, angels were not born. Born of a woman and sloppy births and all that. Ooh, how low can you get? Angels, we came into being in full stature. And God's going to put this slimy little thing, born of a woman, that maggot, that worm, above me. And that just irritates him. And I love God. God has a great sense of humor. Don't ever doubt that. God said, oh, remember when you said that maggot, that worm? That maggot, that worm, the Son of Man, is going to be your defeat. My son, that maggot, is going to save mankind. So Satan, or God pulled a fast one on the arrogance of Satan. Now, many members of the human race do the same race, same thing. Race superiority. I'm white, I'm black, I'm Jewish, I'm this, I'm that. See? And Jews love to boast about their superiority over Gentiles. In fact, that's a big play in the Word of God. God said, okay, you're so great. Where they are, by the way, they're the chosen of God. But not for the sake of arrogance. They took it to arrogance. So God said, okay, you don't know what that means? I'm going to create a lower creature, Gentiles, that's you and I, unless you're Jew, that's you and I down here, and you're going to learn from them. You're going to see my grace from them. This creature lower than you, those dogs, are going to be blessed and saved by grace through faith, because you rejected it. So God uses, people, this is often what God does. God uses a lower creature, a lower status creature, to teach the upper creature. He uses man to teach angels. See? So this is what is going on. Now, we have a lot of ladies here, and I don't want to offend anyone. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. Often God uses the woman to teach the man. The man is in authority over the woman in marriage, but often God says to the arrogant man, I'm going to teach you some things. I'm going to use a woman. And that's the story of David's life, Abraham's life. They had to learn from their wives because they were too arrogant. So this is one of the things about race, sex. Yes.
If that's the what you said, that God used the underdog to actually teach the arrogant, does it also hold true that sometimes that even people who are in the like very unlikely, the source of God's glory can also be a good lesson for us, a believer as well?
Repeat that again?
Well, I'm thinking, from a logical perspective, if God can use the underdog to actually teach the superior,
Yeah. Can
God also use the unbeliever, whatever they do, to actually give us a lesson for the believer who don't believe or who are arrogant?
You know what? I don't, I can't think of an occasion right now. I'll have to think about that one, where God would use an unbeliever to teach a believer. Can you think of one?
Paul?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that Paul? He was an unbeliever before he became a believer.
Who?
Paul.
Paul?
He was an unbeliever before he became a believer.
Yeah.
How about Balaam?
Who?
Balaam?
Balaam would be a good example. Balaam would be a good example. Balaam's asking you. Yeah. Take care of me
now.
I don't put anything past the sense of humor of God. You're those kind of things.
Amen.
Okay. So, That's our third category, not many noble. So we have three categories of rejection of God, a divine provision, of rejecting the gospel, rejecting the teaching of the word of God, and three, for boasting, exalting yourself above others. We have, in just this one verse, verse 26, we have the wisdom, IQ we could say, and then the strength or power, authority, and then the nobility. So we have three categories. Now, with this in mind, I want you to look at another passage. Where did this come from? Where did Paul get this idea from the Holy Spirit, but biblically? Let's look at Jeremiah 9:23. Ooh, boy, I like Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9:23. If we had enough people, I'd like to have Tuesday night, Jeremiah, Wednesday night, Ezekiel, and Thursday night, Isaiah. Actually, Tuesday night, Isaiah, and Wednesday night, Jeremiah, and Thursday night, Ezekiel. Because they're all three right there together, and just show a lot of the comparisons and contrasts and how they build on each other. But that's another problem. So let's look at Jeremiah 9:23. Jeremiah 9, and let me turn. Kids probably already got it on the board, but I gotta do the old-fashioned way. Okay, 9:23. Look at the first words. Thus says the Lord. This is supreme authority. This is where we pay attention. This is Jesus Christ, second member of the Godhead, speaking through Jeremiah to the nation under divine discipline. He now introduces three advantages that man deceives himself and rejects God and God's grace, provision, and boast. And finds confidence in. I do this because I just want to show you what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is not unique in itself. This is a problem of mankind. I'm showing you how it was a problem in the first sin ever committed, the morning star. But it was also very common in the chosen people of God, the Jewish people. So let's take a look now. They're speaking to the nation of Israel. And so let's take a look. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. That's right, what we read. How many wise? Let not a mighty boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. Okay. There are three primary advantages in this verse of which man can boast, can reject God, and boast about himself. These take us back to the first universe in rebellion of the morning star. Wisdom, power, nobility. And when people have these things, they don't need Jesus Christ. Look, I've got everything. I've got wisdom. I've got a beautiful home. It's a $2 million home. I got this. I got that. I don't need Jesus Christ. Why do you people keep telling me I need him? I'm doing fine without Jesus Christ. Now, if something happens where they start losing those things, they start listening. But as long as they have them, that's called crisis evangelism. As long as they have them, they don't need the Lord. They don't need him. This is what's happening in America today. The Democrats are enjoying the fruit of capitalism. They don't need it anymore. They want to be socialistic, communistic. See, like communistic China. They want to make us like communistic China. See, they don't need capitalism anymore. Because capitalism has served its purpose for them. It's made a very nice country. So we're going to destroy it now. That in the way they would word it, we're going to make it better. But we're going to make it better by destroying what made it great. That's their thinking. That's what we're studying right here. Being wise, they became fools. See? So in the rebellion of Satan, wisdom, power, and nobility caused him to rebel against God. The Hebrew word to boast here means to place confidence in. That's what the word boast means. means in the Hebrew to place confidence in, to gain self-esteem, self-merit, see, to exalt oneself above others, boasting. And we saw in the Greek word, 1 Corinthians 13, that this boasting was done ever so cleverly, as to conceal the boasting. We saw that. We're seeing it right now in our study. But boasting is what it was to exalt self over others, keep others in their place. And I'm sorry to say there are a lot of people who keep others in their place by their power. A lot of times, not so much in high school, but you get into college and beyond that, professors like to keep everybody in place by their wisdom. And when they run into a student who can think right along with them, they don't like that. They don't like that at all, especially if the student is showing another side. See, if the teacher is for socialistic, communistic thought, and the student shows the value and the virtues of capitalism and is able to go hand in hand with him, they don't like that. They don't like that at all. So, this is what we have going on in the Greek word and in the Hebrew word. Here's my confidence, is what the word says. Here's my greatness. Here's how I am superior to you. Wise, intelligence, IQ, knowledge, control by knowledge, exalt by knowledge. And people are all impressed with knowledge. I am. I'm impressed with smart people. I want to know what they see in the human cells, what they see in the universe. Often I'm discouraged, disillusioned with their thinking, but I want to see it because I like that. Okay, so wisdom, might, power, authority. This is the most dangerous. This is dangerous to have power and authority. And this is the same word we saw in our study of the Mighty One. There is no word for man in this verse. It's just wise, mighty, and powerful. That's the most dangerous. And how's that old saying? He who has absolute power destroys absolutely or falls absolutely. This is dangerous stuff. And be careful with it. It's what happened in Nazi Germany. They gave to Hitler that kind of authority and power. And then finally everyone was just fearful of him. You want to be careful. And then the third, of course, wealth. We're all impressed with wealth. I don't know about you, but I enjoy driving through neighborhoods of $4 or $5 million homes just to see what they do with their yard. I couldn't even afford their yard. But it's nice to see how they are. I love the ones that have a beautiful fountain in the front. And so wealth, we're impressed with it. But don't be overly impressed. Like that makes them something special. They're making a big deal about the wealth of Obama. I would like to compare the wealth of Obama when he took presidency and the wealth of Trump when he took presidency, not afterward, not where Obama stole his wealth, but what he made. He didn't make a dime. But he made a lot of money by being president. There's where he got his wealth. Whereas Trump used a capitalistic system to make his wealth. He doesn't need the presidency to make wealth. In fact, the presidency's taken some of his wealth away from him. But I just want you to be able to think your way through these things. See and understand what's going on. Three categories of rejection of divine provision. Three categories for exalting self. Wisdom, might, wealth. Now let's look at verse 24. Jeremiah 9:24. Jesus Christ declares the only basis that man has for boasting. See, let's take a look now. Verse 24. But, Okay, there's that. I love that word in the Greek and Hebrew. But. Da-da-da-da. But. Da-da-da-da-da. But. And you know, whatever preceded is in trouble. See? Even if it's good. But. Satan is your enemy. See? So, it's just that it's alarming word. It's a red flag word. Beware of it. Whenever you don't speed read past that three-letter word. But. Okay. But, okay, but, let him who boast, see, in this. Okay, but let him who boast of this. Here's your confidence. Here is your boast of life. This is boasting of spiritual love. This is the boasting spiritual love will allow. Look what it is. What is this? This, that he understands and knows me. This is beautiful. Understand and know. Both are required. Understanding and knowing. Knowing is not enough. Understanding is not enough. See? All you have to do is be a man and fall in love with a woman. You don't know. You got to know her. You got to understand her. You may think you know her, and then she throws curves at you. And you didn't understand how that works. Sometimes you understand, but you don't know why she does it. It's a very complicated. Very complicated creatures by God, and I love it. I love it. Okay, here we go. What he understands about me. What does this mean? What does understand mean? The Hebrew word is sakal. S-A-K-A-L, transliterated. This word is translated many different ways. It's translated understanding. It's understand to instruct. It means prudent in some cases. It means to cause to understand. But this word involves the person in what he understands. It's an involvement. One thing about the game, Jeopardy. One thing about that, they know a lot of stuff, but they're not involved with the knowledge. They just know it. And I'm impressed. How do you know that? See? Mainly because most of the things I know, I'm involved with. The things that I don't know, I'm not involved with. I don't care about. See? So, you want to be involved. You want to understand it with involvement. And this word means to be involved with what the understanding is part of your involvement. This refers to an intelligent knowledge of what he understands so that he can make decisions based on that information. That's the kicker. It means to have such an understanding of something that you can make a decision based on that information. Say you understand God, therefore you make a decision at certain points in your life about what you understand about God. See? A casual reading of the Word of God. I understand. When God gets angry, he gets angry. I mean, look what he did to Genesis 6. He just flooded the whole world. See? This is what he does. When God's had enough, he's had enough. Study the tribulation. Study the tribulation. Judith this morning, we were talking this morning, and she said, you know, the one thing I've learned, that how God, when God gets angry, gets had enough, he's had enough. And the tribulation is that period. And no wonder he takes the bride out. And that's a good point. But it is unbelievable. What happens? But you got to understand. I understand. See, and what did you... A lot of us learn this in our childhood. I understand. If I do this, I'm going to get a spanking. I was reared in the days where you got spankings. And I understand that. And I understood that depending on how bad I was, determined the spanking. Sometimes it was just with a hand. Sometimes it was with a switch. Other times it got more drastic. My grandfather, love that man. Can't wait to see him in heaven. Our back porch, going out the back door, was a hook. And on that hook was hanging a razor strap. Now, if you don't know what a razor strap is, that's when they used to have a razor, and they sharpened it on that razor strap. Well, the razor strap was also good for the other end of the body. And, I mean, kapow, kapow! See? So, you understand. I understood her. I understood. If I do this, I can expect this. But I'll tell you what. I always, well, it gets to the next word, but I always knew I was going to get a good dinner, good evening meal, and a hug and a kiss in bed. And I knew that. So, there's an understanding about them, but there's also knowing them. So, first of all, you want to understand. What he knows has an impact on his life. Now, what does he know? He knows, or he understands, and then, and knows me. Okay. A person who has understanding shows that he has understanding of what is really important, what is really in the important issues in life. Therefore, the fact that he has understanding leads him to know Jesus Christ. See? So I understand, go back to my mother analogy, I understand some things about her, but that calls me to know her. Was she an evil person? No. Was she a vengeful person? No. Was she a horrible person? No. I got whippings if I did that. So what did I learn? She loved me. She didn't want me to grow up doing bad, these things that were not good in society and not contributing to a good study habit. These kind of things. So I began to know her. I understood what things happened. Now I'm beginning to know her. We're beginning to know God is a righteous God. God is a sovereign God. God is a holy God. Begin to know him. I got an idea of how he is. I got that from John 3:16. All I have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and save forever. If I don't, I will not be saved forever. But what does that give me about knowing him? What does it give me about knowing? Well, I know about his love. His love saw a need. His love met that need. So I know about his love. I know about his justice. I know about his righteousness. So understanding often will lead to knowledge of God. So that's the great issue here with God. A person who does not have understanding is a person who does not see need or necessity of knowing Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. If you do not have understanding, you do not see the need of knowing him. If I don't have the understanding, if I don't believe in him, I'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. If I don't have that understanding, I don't need to know him. You don't need to give me any more information. I don't need it. I don't need to know about him because I don't believe in him. I don't understand. See, but once I understand, if I don't believe in his way, I will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Or if I do, I can spend eternity with him in heaven. So I think about the options. Now I want to know him. I want to know about him. And therefore, I spent my whole life knowing about him. I believed in Christ when I was 7. Spent my whole life knowing him. Learning about him. Now, you say you have understanding. Do you know Jesus Christ intimately? See? You say you have understanding, but do you know him? See? How do we know a tree? Know a tree by its fruit. See? The fruit of this tree next door to our house is a pecan tree. I know that because they're all over the ground at the season. See? Now, how do you know if a person has faith? See? Faith has production. Now, there's no production for salvation. Nothing can prove whether a person is a believer in Jesus Christ or not. But I can determine if a person is walking in the power of the Spirit or not. I will probably miss that if I try to judge it too often, because you can fake a lot of them. But the point is, salvation has no production. Spirituality has production in life. See? So a person who does not have understanding does not know God, does not know the Lord. A person who does not have understanding does not see the necessity of knowing the Lord. I don't see the necessity of going to church three times a week or more. I don't see the necessity of studying the Word of God. Oh, people, I'll read it in the next class. This book is so precious. We've lost it because it's so everywhere. We've got three or four in our home. See? We use only one, but we got three or four. People, there are places in the world, they're taking Bibles away from people. Going into churches, going into homes, confiscating your Bible. That hurts people. That's when you learn you love the Word of God, when you don't even have it anymore, when it's taken away from you. The study of Watchman Nee is a perfect study of one without the Bible. But it just is amazing how people don't see the need to study the Word of God. Now, what do we know about the Lord? See, what do we know? Now, what's interesting, in the United States, we've rejected Him as a massive nation by law. We've rejected Him. Now we're reaching the point where we deny His existence. See? And people, let me just remind you something John Adams said. This Constitution is only for a religious people, a Christian people. It will not govern a non-Christian person. Think about it. Same-sex marriage, abortion, on and on and on. These things are not against the Constitution. The Constitution allows them to do it. The Constitution allows you to destroy it yourself. So, as we get further and further away from God, we will have to change the Constitution as Obama wants to. He wrote so in his book before he became president. He told us. Democrats want to change it. And they should. It will not suffice for their theology, their politics. You've got to appreciate our Constitution. It is an unbelievable document. But it's a document for those who have self-responsibility. See? If you don't have self-responsibility, same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, on and on and on, abortions at will, on and on and on. People, this Constitution will not do you any good. The only thing that's going to do you any good is the wrath of God. And it is coming. We're getting away with it. I don't know how much longer we're going to get away with it, but I can tell you right now, I know God. I've studied His Word. We're not going to get away with it much longer. We just keep going, keep going, and keep going. Parents. Parents encouraging their little children to be the opposite sex than what they are. Screwing up their mind. Tormenting their mind. Tormenting their identification. This is rampant in America. People, it's getting so bizarre, like the days of Noah. And God is going to give us His wrath. Pray the rapture occurs first. I do. But He's not going to let us get away with this too much longer, where we have so rejected Him and denied His even existence. See, we're in trouble in this country. We're in severe trouble as far as a country of people are concerned. Okay. Now, what do we know about the Lord? First of all, look what it says. That He exists. That I am. See? I exist, that he is. Many people in America do not believe he is. Many people do not believe he is. And on the other hand, many believe he is, but he's the God of my imagination. He's the God that fits my way I think he should be. God is for love. He doesn't care if it's two men, two women, two dogs. He's just for love. See? He's for love. That's my view of God. So, if they do believe in God, or they do have a God, it's not the God of the Bible. It's their conjured up idea of God. Okay? Now, so our passage says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, let not a mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me. I am the Lord who exercises love. Now, see that word exercises? That's an interesting word. It's a simple word in the Hebrew meaning to do. Doing. I do love. I manifest love. I operate on the platform of love. But not only this does God exist, he acts. He behaves in a way we can know and depend upon him. See, the next word, justice. Uh-oh, now you just throw me the curve. I love that where he exercises love. But now when you throw in justice, now you're throwing in a curve on me. I don't believe that. I reject that. I reject that part of God. See, people, you don't get to pick and choose about God. Just like you don't get to pick and choose about your mom and dad. They are the way they are. See? You don't get to choose about God. God is the way he is. Loving kindness, exercising, doing love, and justice. And, look at the third word, righteousness on earth. See? He does love and righteousness. The love, the word for love is one of the most beautiful words for love in the Bible, chesed. Old Testament, New Testament, I prefer chesed. Books are written just on that one word. We've studied it many times. Chesed. See? And so chesed. He does love and justice and righteousness on earth. He will never set aside his righteousness for his love. His love will never superimpose on his righteousness and his holiness. He loves according to his holiness. He loves according to his holiness. See? And this idea, I just can't help it, I just love this person. No, people, you're controlled, your love will control you by your standard of your soul. There are just certain people, no way. I'm not going to fall in love with them. I don't care how beautiful, wonderful, on and on and on. There's just certain things. Forget it. See? And the same thing is true spiritually in reference with our Lord. So, loving kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Now you know him and understand him. We'll close here and begin here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. For it, Heavenly Father, tells us of so many things about you. We learn about you. We learn what manner of God you are. We learn about your love, but we learn about your righteousness. We learn about your justice. You have a plan. And that plan is going to work it out, no matter what man does or doesn't do. So, Father, I pray you encourage us to want to learn more and more about you, more and more about your Son through your Word, that, Heavenly Father, we might glorify you in the short time we have on earth. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.